Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today, for Images of the Past, we explore the legend of a Rapid City night watchman. John Leary made his way west from New York in the search for gold. An explosion changed his life permanently. Corey Christensen is curator at the Journey Museum and Learning Center in Rapid City. She joins us with the story of Hooky Jack and his faithful dog, Rags. Corey is in the Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Black Hill studio today. Corey, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Just when I think I know something about South Dakota history. There comes along a story that just seems, too good that I haven't heard it before. So tell us a little bit about Hooky Jack and how he lost his hands.
So Hooky Jack is a major enigma. The man seems to have the worst luck ever, and yet he makes it work. And I think we can all learn a little bit from that. He lost his hands in a mining incident. He was warming dynamite up, or the powder up, over a fire, and it exploded prematurely.
Was that something that normally was done? And because that seems like a profoundly bad idea to me.
Well, I agree. I think it is a...
Kids, do not try this at home.
Right. Don't warm up a powder over a fire.
No.
But at the time, I don't think the science behind the ins and outs of mining and gunpowder and dynamite were completely understood. And so he and his cohort were just trying to warm it up the best they could in order to do their job.
Right.
And when it went off, he lost his hands. He lost most of his eyesight and most of his hearing.
But he lives. He survives this really horrific workplace accident. And what happens to him next?
He was fitted with hooks, and then he and his family moved to Rapid City. What's interesting is that he actually lived on New York Street, right by where the Journey Museum is located. And he lived there for the rest of his life, and that house actually stood until the 1972 Black Hills flood, which is...
Wow.
Fascinating.
That is fascinating. All right. So tell me a little bit about what kind of work he was able to find. What kind of, he's married. He stays married at that point. It's his wife who sort of tends to him after the accident. Do I understand
right.
that?
Right. She took care of him as soon as the accident happened. She put cold compresses on him, but everybody kind of said he was going to die. So the fact that he survived in and of itself is just fascinating and amazing.
Right.
But when he got to Rapid City, he became a night watchman. He worked for the police department, or what would become the police department at the time. He did get in a little trouble in 1889 and lost his job for a couple of years. But then he came back and actually was a night watchman till the end of his days.
All right. What happens to his family?
His family... He had 10 children. 7 of them grew up into adulthood, and he ended up having 14 grandchildren. His wife was actually put into the asylum in Yankton, and she lived there for the rest of her days, which is horrible and very sad. His children would actually help make money for the family. So they grew vegetables at their house, and so they would go out and sell the vegetables and made a good living off of it.
Tell me what kind of night watchman he was, then. How do people sort of remember him doing his rounds?
Because he couldn't really see very well and he couldn't hear very well, he worked the evening shifts, because what he could see was he could see if there was a light on in a building that wasn't supposed to be on. And because he had hooks, he could hook onto doorknobs and pull on them and make sure that the doors were locked, that sort of thing. He did go from business to business and kind of make sure that everything was locked up, secure, and safe. And then he did go into bars and quell rowdy people as well, which if I saw a man with two hooks for hands come in and told someone to knock it off, I would listen to them.
Right. And certainly a man who had survived, a great tragedy, you knew he had some resilience there, at least. Maybe you'd tune in and listen to him.
Right. And Everybody in Rapid City seemed to love the man. Mm-hmm. He seemed very welcoming, very friendly. Alice Gossage worked with her husband at the Rapid City Journal, and she would work very late into the night. And so every night he would go over to the Journal office, and he would ask her to light his cigar for him. She hated tobacco, but she would do it anyway because she liked Hooky Jack, and she figured that he... out of anybody who deserves to smoke a cigar, it's Hooky Jack.
Right. And if this story couldn't get any better, he's got a dog, a stray dog. Tell me about Rags.
Rags was a stray that Hooky Jack rescued, and the stories vary as to how Hooky Jack got hooked up with Rags, for lack of a better term. But Rags would follow Hooky Jack around, and he was essentially the first canine, I guess you could say,
yes,
for the Rapid City Police Department.
And I'm sorry to report that Rags meets a tragic end, similar to the end of Jack himself.
Yes, they were both hit by cars. Rags was hit by a car first, of course, and then Hooky Jack went on to work another 7 years without a partner.
Wow. All right. Tell me a little bit about where some of these stories are preserved and how Hooky Jack is remembered in Rapid City.
So, and I love this. The Rapid City Police Department has been phenomenal about remembering their history, be it more recent history or very far past history. So in the public safety building, they have a memorial to officers who died in the line of duty, and Hooky Jack's image is up there. They also have a plaque in the briefing room, so every time police officers walk into the briefing room, they can see that plaque, and it's on display, and it talks about Hooky Jack and what he did for Rapid City. Mm. In 1991, when South Dakota honored all of their fallen officers, Hooky Jack was amongst that as well. And the National Police Memorial in Washington, D.C., also has Hooky Jack on it. So that the man is, for all intents and purposes, considered a police officer and given the honors that go along with that.
As a fallen public servant, a mm-hmm. man who came west just looking to strike it rich, and a terrible fate which would have ended many lives and did end many lives, and he goes on and becomes a servant to the public. What a fascinating story. And now there is something also, naturally, we couldn't have a story like this in South Dakota without there being rumors that that Hooky Jack is still around in some ways.
Right. There's a building on 7th Street that was rumored at one point to have housed Hooky Jack up on the third floor. And so there are ghost stories that surround that he still exists. That building held the bar Hooky Jack's for a while, and then it held a couple of other bars too. And all the bartenders claim that, you know, they've seen him out of the corner of their eye, or they've heard things, or pool balls move on their own. Things of that nature. People would refuse to go up to the third floor of the building for a while. But it doesn't seem like, and I don't know how I feel about ghosts and ghost stories, but I love hearing them.
And it's a way, regardless of how you feel, of keeping this story alive of this person and who he was, with lessons for us today as well.
Right.
When was the first time you heard the story of Hooky Jack? Because, like, today's the first time I've heard the story.
It was probably when I first started at the Journey Museum. I got to help the Minnelusa curator at the time update an exhibit, and he talked to me about Hooky Jack and told me about him, and I've just been fascinated ever since.
Well, we thank you so much for bringing the story. You can see a picture online as well on the website, sdpb.org. Look for Images of the Past there, and you'll see the text of Corey's story along with a picture of the gentleman with his hooks. Corey, thank you for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.